Hello, everyone. You're listening to America Meditating Radio. We collect wisdom, inspire each other, and empower hearts on demand 24/7. I'm Sister Jenna, host of the syndicated America Meditating Radio. Join us as we talk one-on-one with leading experts who answer life's most compelling questions, because in a world of uncertainty, we need answers right here, right now. America Meditating Radio, a show for everyone to learn more about this amazing thing called life.
As we saw, and as you can verify when you look up into the sky tonight, there's objects out there and there's space. That's basically what the world consists of. And the two dimensions are within you. And humans have become lost in one. So we are here to realize that dimension. It cannot be realized in the future. It cannot be made into an object of a search, because it's here now. The moment you're looking for it, you create a future. Now, what is future? It's a thought form. Apart from that, there is no future except as a thought form. Cannot come except as now. So it's now, the arising of space consciousness, or the realization of space consciousness, is here now. For example, it happens when you acknowledge not only the words that you hear. Acknowledge simply means pay attention, notice. Just as noticing here, there are two dimensions, just the same as when you look up into the sky at night, you will find there are two dimensions. There are the words here, and there's a silent space or stillness in which the words happen.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to America Meditating Radio. That was Eckhart Tolle, our wonderful brother, The Power of Now. And it's definitely an energy that we struggle with being very, very present in, because life moves so fast. And the irony about moving so fast is that we are the dictators of that. Something outside of us isn't moving fast. We are moving fast. It's as if there's just something that just keeps propelling us, move, move, move. It's as if we just can't settle in ourselves, just think, accept, and be. This morning I woke up just feeling like crappy. I don't usually wake up feeling crappy. I thought I had a really nice day yesterday. Of course, the usual, you know, when you're maneuvering a million people and staff and stuff, you know, things come up, but you just handle it. But it's interesting how some mornings you just wake up and there are certain energies inside of your consciousness and they're connecting you to a memory, either something of your past or something in which you think you should be or something in which you really want like yesterday, but it's just not the time. And despite all the knowledge that you might have of it, the feeling is still there. Something doesn't feel so enthused. And you perhaps could tell yourself, oh, I don't feel so great today. I feel sad. I remember telling the producers and the staff in the office, I came and I go, I feel kind of low today. Just, you know, bear with me. And they all looked at me like, you don't look low. I go, yeah, but I really feel low. You never know what's going on in the brain as the physical compartment of a part of our expression. And for me, you know, my question was, what's going on in the soul? And I'd like to bring on our next guest. Dr. Mike Dow is a New York Times bestselling author and America's go-to therapist as a brain health, mental illness, relationship, addiction, and nutrition expert. Dr. Mike has hosted shows on TLC, VH1E, Investigation Discovery, and Logo. He's part of Dr. Oz's core team of experts, a recurring guest co-host on The Doctors, and has made regular appearances on The Today Show, Rachel Way, Wendy Williams, Ricky Lake, and much more. You've also seen him as LaToya Jackson's therapist on OWN's My Life with LaToya, and as the bachelor's therapist on Freeform's Ben and Lauren. Dr. Mike has authored a number of best-selling books, including Heal Your Drained Brain, and his newest book, co-authored by Amy Newmark, Chicken Soup for the Soul, Think, Act, and Be Happy, How to Use Chicken Soup for the Soul. I love that title. Stories to Train Your Brain to Be Your Own Therapist. Today, we're honored to welcome Dr. Mike Dow to the air. Hi.
Hi there. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Didn't you hear me complaining this morning how I just was feeling like yucky when I came in the studio?
I sure did, and I woke up sort of leaning forward, I think, mindfully, sort of energetically leaning forward with a little bit of anxiety. So I think there's something in the universe that we are connected, you know, and I loved that meditation from Eckhart, sort of getting us into this interview. So I think there's something going on. For sure.
You know, that always makes me feel much better because then it moves away the personal responsibility of keep working on the self.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You know, it doesn't matter how many credentials or how many radio shows you host. You know, I think all of us can get caught up in that anxiety. And, you know, I think saying it out loud and just acknowledging that, I think it takes some of the power away from all of us. And I think that's what mindfulness and what meditation is all about is really that acknowledgement without judgment, right? So I think what a great example that you opened your show with it. And just acknowledging it without trying to hide it or trying to push it away, because I think that's what we do in our own minds. And, you know, what I love about mindfulness is just that non-judgment, that sort of, oh, I see you, you know, sort of, I see you, what you're doing today, mind, or, you know, I see, you know, what my own energy is without that judgment and creating that space for all of us. So I think it just allows us to be kinder to our own selves.
And haven't we been there, you know, when we were younger in our 20s or maybe 30s? You look like 28, and I know you're not. But, you know, when we're in our 20s or our 30s, when we hid what we were really feeling for the sake of, you know, showing the best face towards people. And I remembered how stressful and how dishonest that was. And in itself, it became its own norm within, you know, my expression. But then the minute I really just, it was okay, like I don't feel so great. So then no one could expect me to be on top of my game or be the saint for the day. Now everyone else could be the saint for the day for me, and I could just turn to them for the support that I might be needed at a deeper level.
Yeah, it's this interesting paradox, isn't it? Where I had a similar experience where, you know, the more we feel like put on airs or, you know, we have to pretend like we are the expert or always okay, the less we feel okay on the inside. And, you know, I think the reverse is true. The more we tell people we're not okay, the more we realize how okay we are. And I certainly know that to be true for myself. So I remember when I was hosting my first show on TLC, I was actually around 28. I'm no longer 28. And they wanted me to be... I remember they wanted me to go by Dr. Dow, and I said, oh, I don't like going by that name. And they wanted me to dress really old, and they wanted me to, you know, act very old and professional. And I said, well, that's, you know, that's really kind of not who I am, and it's still not who I am, even though I'm older now. And, you know, I just didn't like being this inauthentic version of myself, because I think, you know, who I am, you know, even though I've gotten older, is still not that person. So, you know, I think when we can be that authentic version of ourselves, it's the best case scenario. And whenever there's a mismatch, you know, people can smell that. And when we find that match of who we are and not pretending to be something that we are not, it's in our own best interest, because when we are our authentic selves, we're in the best space for ourselves and to help other people and to just show up in the world in a really true way.
Mm-hmm, I love that. Well, you know, nowadays a lot of stuff is happening in the atmosphere, and everyone, I don't care how strong you think you are or how detached you are from the narrative, stuff has just got to be affecting us on a personal level first, of course, but collectively, nationally, politically, religious-wise, there's a lot of things that's testing us as people, and millions of people are fighting against this epidemic of brain fog. And it's sweeping all over the world right now. I'd like if you could share with us more about what it means. I know for me, it just feels like I'm not clear. I feel like I'm under an influence, as if there's a veil over me and I'm not myself. Mm-hmm. And it just feels like a cloud, like there's like an energy around me, which really I didn't invite. And I'm like, you know, when someone comes to your party uninvited and on top of it, you don't like them, you know, that feeling you get.
Mm. That's a great metaphor. Yeah.
And so I'd love if you could kind of share with our listeners about this thing and, you know, can it be cured, or where does it come from, and is there a cure?
Yeah, I think there are a lot of antidotes. You know, I think there are, you know, little fixes, and then there are, you know, sort of maybe long-term cures. So, you know, I think in the short term, there are ways to sort of remedy it by taking care of ourselves. So, you know, I look at a lot of things, whatever your religious beliefs are, through the lens of serenity prayer, you know, sort of looking at, you know, what can I control and what can't I control? And, you know, and give me the wisdom to know the difference. And there are certainly a lot of things going on in the world today. And there are some things that we can control and some things that we cannot. If, you know, you are getting information that you are feeling anxious and you are watching the 24-hour news cycle and that is fogging your brain and making you anxious and making you angry and unable to function and unable to feel peaceful, well, then that is information that you are receiving, and that is something that you can control. And maybe you can't change the world today. Maybe you could change it in a way by getting involved, or, you know, by the way that you serve or vote or whatever, you know, whatever that whatever you can do to make a difference. But in the short term, you know, in my book, you know, I wrote a whole book on that called The Brain Fog Fix. You know, I talk about these social media cleanses and these you know, sort of taking these cleanses from our phones and just taking, you know, finding 3 hours during the day, you know, maybe, you know, three consecutive hours or 3 one-hour periods where it's sort of all the electronics go off and the phone goes into airplane mode, and just sort of like taking this little detox, sort of, you know, the way people do juice cleanses, and just allowing the brain to just have these mini resets during the day. And it just allows us to just sort of breathe a little bit, because I think we've just gotten so used to all of this incoming information at all times, and it just makes us feel so overwhelmed. And, you know, the stress hormones in the brain, you know, all of that incoming cortisol and adrenaline, you know, I think more and more we're getting that fight or flight response. So we're getting a lot of that adrenaline, and then we're getting a lot of cortisol. So we're just feeling fatigued and frazzled all day long. So there are certainly things that we can do to remedy that. And then, of course, in the long term, hopefully our world will change for the better and we'll have a more peaceful world, because things do seem a little bit more tumultuous than they were a few years ago, and that certainly is.
So is there a long-term repercussion of living with brain fog? I mean, can it be life-threatening? Because we do get used to particular patterns. Example, I've been wanting to get into a routine of really loving to exercise. And I consider myself a pretty strong person with my character, with my thoughts, the way I make my decisions, the way I live my life. There's no question it can't be much stronger as well. But I'll get up in the morning, you know, Dr. Mike, and I'm like, all right, Jen, just 5 sit-ups. You can do it. And I can barely do one. And I'm like, what is it that just takes away your understanding that this is good for you? Why doesn't that click for some of us? So you know how sometimes we just get used to a particular pattern. Now, I know exercise is important for me, but there's some of us who can live with brain fog for a long time and just get used to that. I mean, is that life-threatening for us?
Well, one day of skipping exercise is not, but remember that, you know, one day becomes 2 days, and then 2 days becomes 28 days, and then all of a sudden that becomes a habit. And a lifetime of a sedentary lifestyle is life-threatening. And when it comes to the brain, you know, I think as Americans, we tend to think of things as out of our control and, oh, well, dementia and brain fog or depression, these are all things, or even heart disease. You know, I think we look at things as, oh, well, that's hereditary, and those are things that, you know, we either have or we don't have, or we inherit or we don't inherit, and we medicate or we don't medicate. And, you know, what we really now know is that we have so much control over all of these diseases, and our lifestyle, what we do every day, and the two things that we can do that affect our brains are, number one, what we eat, and number two, how we move. You know, so do we exercise or not? And it is exponentially harder. So remember this, you know, if you haven't been exercising for a while, it is going to be exponentially harder to hop on that treadmill or to go on that jog day one. But by day 86, it is going to be so much easier. And, you know, positive movement, it becomes your momentum, just like sitting on the couch becomes habitual and becomes your momentum. Just remember that, you know, the tallest building begins with but a single brick. So just take that first brick. And you know what I love, you know, in this new book, Chicken Soup for the Soul, it's all based on cognitive behavioral therapy. And so what we've done, the book is for people with all sorts of problems, including exercise and anxiety. And what we've done is we've taken these incredible real-life stories, including people who, you know, were having trouble losing weight or people who were feeling anxious. And you heard from just real-life, everyday people, or, you know, people who had trouble, a woman who couldn't stop biting her nails, and what did she do to stop? And, you know, cognitive behavioral therapy is a really practical therapy, and then I take the reader by the hand and I give you advice, and it's really CBT, which is, you know, baby step therapy. And it's sort of, you know, here's how to change your thinking, and here are the behaviors, here are the baby steps that you too can take to change your life. And I think if we all just change our lives in this baby step way, we realize that we can change the whole course of our lives, and that's really cool. And you know, there's not just CBT. There's a lot of meditations that I wrote for this book that you'll find as the reader, which is really nice too, because I know a lot of your listeners appreciate meditation. So
they do.
Those have a powerful effect on the brain.
Thank you for sharing, because in your book you also talk about cognitive behavioral therapy, and I think there's some of us who are still acclimating ourselves to understand how best to, you know, process it or use it. What is this form of therapy, and how do we actually use it? And let's say, do I really need to get professional help to get acclimated to it, or can I develop it on my own?
Yeah, I think that's a really great question. Well, I really love the subtitle of this Chicken Soup for the Soul book. We called it Think, Act, and Be Happy, which I think is a really great way to understand cognitive behavioral therapy. So cognitive is change the think. Behavioral is change how you act. And then, you know, of course, you get happier, right? So CBT, cognitive behavioral, think, act, and be happy. So the question is this something that you can do on your own, or do you need to get professional help? So in a lot of ways, there are so many things that you can do in your everyday life to apply some of these CBT principles to make a really profound difference in your life, and I think that's what this book is all about. Of course, this is not a book that is going to treat people who need inpatient care or, you know, who have a really debilitating problem, so it's, you know, certainly not a substitute for that, and those people should absolutely, you know, seek professional help. But, you know, by the way, this book could be a companion for those people to take with them as they're seeking professional help. And, you know, this is, it's an uplifting book. It's a book that inspires people. There's stories of hope, people who survived and thrived with cancer, people who survived going through loss, or stories of parents of children with disabilities and how they focused on the abilities, not the disabilities. And these stories that just, you know, frankly brought me to tears when I was reading them. And it's just tears of joy and hope of in the human spirit. So, you know, not really a substitute for professional care, but maybe a complement. And, you know, maybe for the person who wants to, who is the kind of person who wants to change their brain and use some of the principles, who is maybe that do-it-yourselfer. Maybe you watch a lot of HGTV and you have a lot of do-it-yourself projects and you want to sort of try on some of these principles and see if they work for you. It is sort of a do-it-yourselfer's guide to CBT, and a lot of the principles do work on your own. So I don't think it's an either or. I think it's sort of an and. And I think people really love the stories, and the principles are really fun to apply to your life too.
Thank you. Chicken Soup for the Soul. You know, I believe that there is this living energy, the soul, the atma, the ruh, the alma, the spirit, the metaphysical, the energy, life force. Call it what you wish. There is this energy that we all are, and it's carrying a lot of emotions, a lot of experiences, especially from the past, but it also has recordings of future not yet lived. You know, there are just energies just waiting to be lived. And I believe it is sitting inside of the brain, and that's affecting a lot in terms of how the body is feeling, the functioning of the body. And so could you speak to that? Is there a difference between the soul and the brain, or do you consider it to be the same, or is that another show that we need to get on to talk about?
Well, a lot could be said, but, you know, what's interesting is that it's been said that if the soul lived in a part of the brain, it would be in the prefrontal cortex, which is the most advanced and the most uniquely human part of the brain. It's the part of the brain that sets us the most apart from animals. So, you know, you could say that what makes us human is where the soul resides. And, you know, what's interesting also is, you know, does the soul live in the brain? Well, that's interesting because, you know, sometimes when I'm doing a loving kindness meditation, for me, even though I guess technically we're using the brain, I also like to use my mind's eye to visualize my heart. So, you know, it's interesting. You know, sometimes I think my own soul lives in the brain, but sometimes I think it absolutely, you know, maybe physically we could say that it's conjured up in the brain. You know, does it originate in the brain in terms of where I think about my soul? Yes, but, you know, do I believe that my soul actually, you know, lives in the brain? No. You know, I think it was Wayne Dyer who said, you know, our bodies are actually just sort of a garage for our souls, and I think our brains are just sort of, you know, again, part of a garage, you know, the body and the brain, these garages that we have. So, but it is interesting that through meditation that the prefrontal cortex can actually be physically thickened, which can make, you know, us more soulful. So it is a really interesting question.
Yeah, because, you know, sometimes it doesn't make sense that some of us go through certain things and we've dotted our I's, crossed our T's, and stuff's still happening. And I know that food, I know environment, circumstances and situations that we go through are all a part of it. But if there's something always mystically connected to the why, you know, I just, why? And it's got to be something at a much deeper soulful level. But if we can take care of our bodies and keep ourselves in good environments and keep healthy thoughts, then of course we perhaps maybe will surrender living into the why and say, well, you know what, this is how I'm going to fly. You know, because we can't keep going into the questions. What's the main message that you would hope your readers would take away from the book? And are you on a book tour currently?
I am, yeah. I'm doing all sorts of appearances. I'm going to be traveling across the U.S. and also into Canada. I hope when readers read Chicken Soup for the Soul, Think, Act, and Be Happy, that they get just that, that they change the way they think, they change the way they act a little, and that they become happier. And I hope that through the Chicken Soup for the Soul stories, that they realize that they're not alone, and that they'll find a little bit of hope and joy. And to one of your earlier points, I think that there is no better time for this book than right now, because there is so much negativity and stress in the world. And when you can crack open this book and you hear stories of positivity and hope, it's just a really fresh reminder that there is still so much love and light going on in the world that is sort of the polar opposite of what you may encounter when you turn on the news on television right now. And I think it's a really fresh breath of air that I think is really needed in the world. And I think it's a really nice shift that may help people to feel a little less anxious, a little happier. And it'll be I think it's a really nice reminder of the human spirit, and that we all have what it takes within us to think and act and be happier, and we have those tools within ourselves.
Lovely, lovely, well said. Well, look, thank you so much for joining us on air, and love to have you on whenever you've got something amazing and beautiful going on. And if you come to Washington, D.C., I promise we'll be happy to host a book signing for you at the Meditation Museum.
Oh, thank you so much, and thank you so much for having me today. I appreciate it.
Thank you. And leave us with your website where folks can get a hold of you.
DrMikeDow.com. That's DrMikeDow.com.
You're awesome. Thanks so much. Take good care.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye-bye. So folks, take care of what's going on inside of you, and it's a conscientious choice, no doubt. And Dr. Dow's new book, Chicken Soup for the Soul, Think, Act, and Be Happy, How to Use Chicken Soup for the Soul, Stories to Train Your Brain to Be Your Own Therapist. I tell you, I don't want us to get used to feeling yucky. It just doesn't feel right. It feels powerless. It feels vulnerable, which is okay to be vulnerable, but not to live only in vulnerability. I think vulnerability is just giving us a signal as to where I need to redirect my motives, my intentions, my vision, where I need to be, who I am. So I hope you've enjoyed my conversation with Dr. Mike Dow, and please visit him at drmikedow.com. Now remember, no one can take away your happiness unless you give them permission, and we really are here to love each other the same. Going to end today's show with Vanessa Williams, Colors of the Wind. Take care, everyone. I'm Sister Jenna. You've been listening to America Meditating Podcast. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Did you enjoy that conversation? Because you can also listen to it on Spotify or in iTunes, 24/7, anytime, anywhere. I do trust we all have inner power to become our very best. When we listen with curiosity to learn more, we grow. So thanks so much for tuning in, and do be easy on yourself. Take care.